Hello and welcome to the Horde Mode Patch Notes, not really a Porehammer episode. I'm your host Brad and I'm alone right now. Borelio, zoom in on my face on YouTube. Get me uncomfortably close to the audience. What you doing? How's it going? Kind of weird, isn't it? Anyway, back to what we were doing. I am just here to talk about the update to Horde Mode, initial feedback we got, how warm and fuzzy it made us feel. I'll cover stuff like the addition of Hard Mode that we're planning to do, a lot of the frequently asked questions we got, plans for if we're doing Crusade compatibility and all that. So stay tuned, I've got answers for all of you. So without any further ado, let's get into this. All right, so before we go any further, this is the first time we've had a Horde Mode focused episode since the release of Horde Mode last month. And in that time, we created a Discord to give your feedback for Horde Mode on and to discuss Horde Mode, to find people to play with online or locally or whatever. Just general open public Discord for you to go to. The link for that will be in a pinned comment and the description below on the YouTube video or the show notes for the audio episode. You can also go there in order to keep updated on all Horde Mode related stuff. I have an announcements channel where I can ping people who want to be pinged for like Horde Mode updates. As for this patch, this is version 0.83, which follows version 0.82. I don't have a real solid reason for the numbers. They just get ticked up by 10 when I think it's super important and otherwise go up by 1. So in this case, it was mostly fixing a lot of grammar, a lot of weird wordings, a lot of things that weren't covered in the rules that people found out when people started playing more varied games than in our private tests with the patrons. I'm also aware of several other things that I would like to change, but err on the side of balance changes. Those are going to wait until next update because I mostly wanted to give everyone a fine-tuned version of the current update to finish testing on, giving feedback on, having questions on, and then we'll start rolling out the changes officially for a rebalanced version with some minor fixes, but we can talk about what those plans are in this episode so that maybe you can try them out in advance and tell us like, hey, this worked really well, make sure to actually go through with it, or like, if one of my ideas is way too horrible, then you can give feedback on that once you've played with it. Only once you've played with it, not your gut reaction. One of the things that was brought up a lot in our initial feedback was, this is amazing, but I play AOS, can we get it ported to AOS? The answer is, people are working on it, I am not those people. I believe it is something that is being worked on within the Horde Mode Discord server that we've got. There was like multiple groups trying to adapt it and running into the various issues of adapting it straight to AOS. It did need some tweaks. I don't know the details. I would be happy to talk to people who are working on the AOSified version of this to see if there could be like a, here we go, follow these people for the AOS version. I don't plan on doing it myself though. Upkeeping Horde Mode is enough work on its own, let me tell you. Also, if you'd like to help out Horde Mode and you're artistically inclined or you've got experience like PDFifying and making things look pretty in a technical document like a manual, we could use some help on that front. As I record this right now, I have updated the Google Doc version of the Horde Mode rules and I've passed the buck off to several volunteers in Borelio to finish PDFifying it and throwing together the cards so that the cards can be nice and updated and you can reprint them with the new text on them. All of that is being done by not me because I don't have the talent for it. But if you want to help with that, Horde Mode Discord, you can find where to help in there. Also, we're trying to get some official, that sounds weird because it's like a fan format, but like official banner art and stuff so that we can have like a logo for what Horde Mode is so that people are like, hey, that's Horde Mode. If you want to try like throwing your hat in the ring for making something for that, just for your own pride's sake, that is also on the Horde Mode Discord right now. You can find an announcement in the announcements channel and submissions go into the community events channel right now. We're just looking for stuff so that we can get a nice looking setup for Horde Mode because it's all running on temp art from Borelio and I and it's not pretty. Also, before I forget, even though this isn't an official episode, if you're interested in keeping up with Horde Mode and stuff, and you like what we do here, please make sure YouTube pleasantries, blah, blah, blah. It helps us a lot. We'll talk about some YouTube stuff later in this episode, but I have to throw that out there because I don't want YouTube punishing us for me making a non-mainline episode. All right, with all of that out of the way, it's now time to talk about what we changed, what we didn't, some basic feedback we got, all that jam. I'm not going to read any of the actual feedback emails we got or the messages from Discord. They were mostly very lovely to read, but since I didn't get permission to slap you all up on the screen, you may have assumed these were going to be private feedback. I won't directly post them. I will tell people about how awesome it is, though. So to start things off, we were missing a couple units. They have been added to the spawn tables. If you still don't see a unit that you know should be there, please inform us and we'll get in the next patch through of this. Chimera filled with units was missing. A couple of demons units were missing or misspelled. We added the Admech new model that I gave a very serious actual name and definitely didn't give him a joke name in the table. So hopefully the spawn tables are now complete. I hope. If you find anything missing though, again, just tell us and we'll get it on the next patch. While we're talking about the term full and spawn tables, let me also take a moment to talk about one of the most frequently asked questions in the feedback is, what does the term full mean? And we've now added it to the reminder list on the side of the spawn tables. My bad for not having it in the first place. It is defined as, the term full is any valid unit on the spawning table for that transport to carry. Decide what to fill it with at your discretion. 10 Terminators with a leader attached in a Land Raider is the exact same entry as a Land Raider with 5 intercessors and nothing else. You can either do it randomly, pick it off the shelf depending on what you have access to, punish yourself as heartily as possible. It's all up to your playgroup. And that's one of the key things that'll come up again and again here is people were wondering about, like, how do I decide between blank or blank? And the answer is, A, do you have access to one and not the other? And B, it's up to you to determine the difficulty of the game mode for yourself. You can take it easy on yourself. You can go for the worst possible case every time, whatever your playgroup tends to like. We tried not to be overbearing and tried not to make it too overcomplicated with how you have to pick a unit. It is meant to be playable by any playgroup. While we're on the topic of the spawning table still, another one that got brought up by a couple people who have no taste is, how do you spawn in a drop pod? What are the rules for spawning in a drop pod? Blah, blah, blah. After much debating, we came up with the very clever solution of adding a designer note where we say you should not use aircraft because they suck in this mode and break the rules and are very difficult to work with. We said also drop pods. This is not a coward's way out. I don't care. Drop pods are stupid. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. But yeah, drop pods are a bit too complicated to figure out like a easy way to explain how they should drop that'll work on like any given board state that isn't like a huge figure it out on your own. So I'm just going to say they're essentially useless if you follow the rules of how spawning should work, so don't use them. But they're on the table in case you must use them or you really like them for some reason. And for a last note for the spawn tables, one of the key things we kept getting asked that somehow nobody in the closed beta thought about, partly because we were playing it online for the most part, and my playgroup has access to, like, literally everything. Was, can you mix spawn tables? Which, it should be obvious, and I can't believe I didn't think of it before now. Yeah, why not? There's no reason that the Horde should be locked to only one faction. So, a big bonus of adding in the little line saying that you can do this is now Knights, where like half the spawn table is blank and you have to do a roll down, and they don't even have the lowest tier, so you roll down to nothingness. That can be filled by a separate faction that you want to ally with the Knights, whether it be, you know, the random Marines you have laying around or whatever matches their flavor that you like. Another nice part of this is if you're like Drukhari, you have the issue of the top of the spawn table has like literally nothing, so you could mix with other elves to get there if you've got those laying around the house too, which if you have bad enough taste to play one type of elf, you probably have someone in your playgroup who has bad enough taste to play another type of elf. It's true with our playgroup. I say this as someone with Drukhari. And on the note of like the how do you drop in drop pods, I also didn't touch Deep Strike, though some people have brought it up and have asked, like, should the Horde be able to deep strike stuff without the Misery card that does it? I don't really want to touch deep strike because the more I started playing with it, the more I started breaking it and realizing it's going to get way too complicated way too fast. So I'm just saying no for now. And other than the Misery card that forces it to occur with any unit, it's just not going to be something the Horde takes advantage of. Just like they don't get advantage of whole army rules. All right, so moving out of the spawn table and out of spawning for a bit, let's go through all of the other parts of the rules that got changed. A lot of these aren't really changes, they're just clarifications because the rules didn't do a very good job at points, which some of you very kindly pointed out and were very adult about it, and I thank you because sometimes I don't deserve the kind way you worded, "This rule is written poorly." So we did clarify now that, yes, your group of players is all considered friendly units to each other. No, you can't shoot each other. That's not how friendly units work. And then RP and CP are indeed private, separate for each player, which was assumed, but unfortunately was not explicitly written in the rules. And while we're on the subject of RP, we also explicitly clarified that it is only gained on the player's turn, not on the Horde's turn. This was assumed going in, but some people were confused about that fact. So there we go. I did not get the time to draw up an example of splitting a rectangle into four parts for people so that you have, you know, four subsquares. Partly because I'm afraid of actually using the Dawn of War deployment in the rules, because I don't know if that's freely available or anything. If you guys know the answer and can say, like, look, GW can't sue your pants off for putting the Dawn of War deployment as an example picture in the rules, then I'll add it. Otherwise, I could use someone who could throw together a quick art asset for that as well, so that we can show that off for people. We also clarified that the beginning of the battle round abilities, like the add Mech 1, Rad Bombardment, the Votan 1, the getting call tokens and all that stuff that cares about beginning a battle round, all of those trigger after the Horde spawns in for the turn now. It is explicitly stated for you so that your ability actually works. Because again, they spawn in at the beginning of the battle round. Technically, their turn is a little bit of a blur. You could argue that it's like during their command phase or during their movement phase or something, but we have it listed as beginning of battle round, so that way things are just there and have been for all time as far as we care, just so that your rules will function on your side of the table. And little corner cases like this are great examples of why we do not have them play around with their rules, because it would become a nightmare. Into the AI parts, there was a lot of fixing up here, and also the rest of this document, we have fixed up a billion bits of grammar that were way off. Shout out to someone on the Discord, Riker Greenslade, sat there and went line by line through the entire rules and helped me fix all of the grammar errors because I'm very English good, and basically make this document far more readable. But let's move into the actual AI changes we've made for fixing up some gray areas. We now have a note for if you have a pick one of three abilities aura, it'll just be random every turn because we don't want it having to be decided by people. If you want to overwrite that with like just choose the obvious best one, that's fine, but I can't say that to like a newer group when they'll have no idea what that even means. So I have it written as random. If you know better, do better. We also got a lot of people asking about disembarkation, which is fair, because we probably didn't check this nearly enough in the closed beta for stuff that was on boats or in rhinos, stuff like that when we spawned in. That was something we noticed a lot in early feedback that we were missing. So there's now a new 5.5 in the AI rules about disembarking, but the long and short of it is a unit will disembark when it's appropriate. If you've got a shooting unit that can't shoot, it's going to get out. If it can attempt to charge, if it got out and it's a unit type that wants to charge, it'll do so. Units never disembark into the spawning zone where they'll end up dead. We tried to avoid stuff like that. And while talking about that, there's a funny rule for shooting where I was very mad at early feedback because I was like, nobody can read. Why are you all killing your shooting units by having them stand in the spawning zone? They can't do that. Well, in the version that went live, you could do that. Because when we fixed up the shooting rules to make them cleaner so that they'd be easier for you to read, we accidentally deleted the line that says, ignore this rule if you're standing in the spawning zone. So now that's back. So you leave the spawning zone before you start your shooting AI that keeps you standing still. This should keep shooting armies from blowing themselves up at the end of every turn and re-rolling into something else. We also added some clarification for things like melee attacks, where I made it so like a model will always attempt to fight the unit of the closest model to it, just to try to help with scenarios where people were having issues with having two units charge a single horde unit. Now what does it fight? With which models? Things where you got piled into or heroic'd into, all that stuff. So hopefully melee should be pretty clear now. There may still be weird exception cases. Don't be shy about pointing them out, and we'll see if there's a clean fix for them or not. We're trying to keep the AI simple, though, is the thing. Like, it's a dumb zombie. We don't want it to be hard for you to have to figure out how to play the AI. It should feel completely natural to play it like that, because we really don't want to muck this down with like a lot of sitting there and figuring out how the AI works in every single scenario. When in doubt, go with your gut, and also report to us that you had to do that and it wasn't in the rules. We'll get to some of the feedback we got. Another question was about consolidation, though, which I had completely whiffed on. So now the Horde always attempts to consolidate if it's possible. And on the subject of shooting, anti-X weapons, so like your anti-tank units, now properly overwrite closest. So they'll do closest of whatever the X is on anti-X. And then if they fail to find that, then they'll just shoot closest. Because people were pointing out that like the units with, you know, a bunch of Meltas would fire at two guys in front of them instead of the tank 2 inches behind it, which was a bit silly and made it super easy to counter anti-tank units and stuff. This should make them just 5% smarter. And obviously things without anti-X aren't going to be affected by this rule and will still be dumb as hell, but oh well, they're zombies. All right, moving into everybody's favorite part, we've got our purchase table for reinforcement points, the misery deck, your secondary missions, your secret objectives, all of those. We touched them up so that hopefully we got rid of any weird issues that people were having with them. So first up, patched up. We fixed the wording so that if a leader is lost from precision, they'll reattach, whatever. Small corner case, but it happens. Do remember, though, if a leader's unit it's attached to all die, by the rules of 40k, it respawns as its own unit. So patched up would no longer work on that. That's just how the rules work. That's not part of this mode. That's 40k. And while we're on the subject of patched up, yes, I'm aware, patched up is extremely strong on knights and extremely terrible on small units. It is highly likely, almost guaranteed, that we're changing patched up in version 0.9 or whatever we'll end up calling it, the first real balance update. I'm probably going to make it cost the unit's bracket number, if that makes sense. So a knight is going to cost 10 RP, while admech 10 man nobodies is going to cost you 3 or whatever. That should help a lot with making patched up more universally balanced, because it's like way too good on some Titanic stuff and it's really, really bad on a lot of other units where you're like, oh, maybe I should patch up my guys. Why would I waste so much RP patching up my soldiers? If you want to play in advance like that and give us feedback, please do so, but please take note that you're playing the new version when you give us feedback about that. Like, hey, I'm playing the use the bracket number to decide how much RP. It would help in advance so that we know we're going the right way. And then reinforcements are arrive. I added a little reminder specifically because Drukhari players were pointing out, hey, I rolled too well on reinforcements arrive, and I didn't get anything, which is an awful feeling. So now if you have nothing on the reinforcements arrive roll, you can go down one tier and spawn two units of the tier below it. This should help things like Drukhari, or rolling like a 7, I think, on knights would be blank, which is super awkward because I think, you know, the most rolled window spawns nothing on knights. Also, field promotion was terribly worded, I will admit. I'm still not perfectly happy with the new wording, but it should be infinitely more clear how it functions. Yes, there's a bunch of weird cases that can occur that aren't quite as flavorful, but it was your choice for doing that instead of the more flavorful option in the bracket. And some brackets we just lose out on if it's not that flavorful. But, eh. It's a really fun and really strong ability either way. So, to read off the new field promotion, destroy a unit that you own that is not in combat. Roll 2d6 plus 1. Select a unit of your choice from the corresponding bracket on your army spawning table. You may pick a unit of any model count to upgrade into, but you may not place more models in this new unit than were in the destroyed unit. Set up that unit on the battlefield as close as possible to the original unit's position. The unit may not set up with an engagement range of enemy models when doing this. So no, your 20 boys does not upgrade into 20 Gazes if you roll well, it's one unit. You chose Gaz. And no, your three guys don't suddenly become 10 Terminators when you sacrifice them. You could have three Terminators or one tank. Those would be in the same bracket, but you cannot have three tanks out of three guys, and you cannot have 10 Terminators out of three guys. It must be equal or less in the number that replaces the original. So you could say, I'm going to target 10 Terminators and put in three of them because that's how many guys I had removed. There you go. Hopefully that clarifies everything with field promotion. It's one where we got the most confused uses of it in the first feedbacks. Some of them I question how you read that even with the old bad wording, but whatever. My fault. It was very poorly worded. And on to secondaries, use it or lose it is the thing we got the most negative comments about for ruining a game, where you would draw at turn one and start snowballing downhill from there because it's basically impossible to get on turn one. So now it does the, if you draw this battle round one, you'll draw something else instead and then shuffle it back into the deck, so that way it can show up later, but it can't ruin turn one. This also gets into a major thing that has come up in the feedback, and I understand this because I'm on this side of it. We had quite a few people asking us if we could increase the difficulty of the game mode, to which I will say, not in the normal version. Here's a back end view of how feedback went. We had probably 95%+ people with positive feedback, and I'm very happy about that. Some of them would say, hey, this is a little too hard. Some of them would say, hey, this is a little too easy. Some of them would say, we played three games. At first, we thought it was horribly hard. By the end, we thought it was really easy. Lots of feedback. But by and large, a lot of people playing this format are more casual play groups, playing with people who play less often, great for co-op with people who are more casual in your play group or teaching them. I'm not interested in making the current mode harder because we got a lot more people having a rough time winning than we did people being bored. My playgroup obviously is a bunch of tryhards. We knew going in that this game mode, as it stands with the rules that I have in place, is probably near auto win unless we take very fluffy lifts and we start playing very fluffy and we try to actually stop ourselves from gaming the system. If you're the type of person to be on the higher end where you may need more challenge, when we do the next major revision is when I'm going to introduce an alternative mode. I'm just calling it hard mode, so we'll have normal mode and hard mode. Hard mode is basically just normal mode, but we're changing how the battle rounds will work. If you want to play in advance right now, go for it. Tell me if it was hard enough or if it was too hard. So the way hard mode will work is it will just change the misery and spawn rolls per battle round. My initial balance for hard mode is on battle round one, you will draw a misery card and have +0 to spawn rolls. Battle round two will be one misery card and +1 to spawn rolls. Battle round three will be two misery cards and +1 to spawn rolls. Battle round four would be two misery cards +2 to spawn rolls. And then battle round five will be three misery cards and +3 to spawn rolls. So that's like a lot more misery cards than in a vanilla game. In a normal game, you will only see 5 misery cards and 3 of those are on that last turn. In this mode, you will see 9 of them. So you see way more of them with, again, 3 on the last turn. So over the course of the game, hard mode is going to be much more challenging for your playgroup. And it's the most minimal way I could implement a hard mode. There's been plenty of ideas we've been bouncing around in the Discord with the patrons and in the 40k horde mode Discord, all of that. But I like this because it's a very clean, minimal change where you don't have to worry about any other rules alterations, just changing the misery cards and the spawn rolls to make the game harder. And with how breakpoints work on spawn tables, +1 to spawn rolls, etc., are very dangerous because it makes a 6 into a 7, and it, when you look at dice math, it's a lot. So there you go. For those wondering if we're getting a hard mode, yes, we are. Please test it in advance if you're interested. Alright, let's move on to the secret objective changes. Again, like the rest of the document, a lot of grammar updates and fixes, but the major ones is we cleared up the wording on Master Sculptor, hopefully, so you're aware that it is any combination that leads to a tally of 5 uses of airstrike and fortify positions. I tried to make it make sense without making it overly wordy, but I'm hoping it comes through on the new wording. Keep a tally of the amount of uses of both airstrike and fortify positions you use over the game. Reveal this objective after your 5th total tally. You must survive until the end of the game to complete this objective. Hopefully that's clear now because we did have some questions in the feedback about that. And a final one, pure spite, didn't have the wording for single player redraw. We added that. There we go. Oops, my bad. Now, before we get into the most frequently asked questions that didn't get resolved in this, I do want to share a little secret YouTube knowledge with you. If you're interested in seeing some Horde Mode played on YouTube, rather than pester very kind content creators who probably don't need you pestering them, and if you do pester them, please be very polite. I don't want them hating me because you were obnoxious. There's another way that you could pressure people into playing Horde Mode. In the YouTube Creator Studio, there's a research tab that we all have access to that tells you what the top search results are for people who like your content. So for me, it'll show like 40k ranking, Warhammer 40k tabletop factions, best combat patrol box 40k, and it's trying to tell you gaps in content that you should be filling. If you were to all search on YouTube for Warhammer 40k Horde Mode Battle Report and click those videos and like them and watch them, then the top searches will start showing it there, and then people like Bricky or someone might look at it and go, damn, good content, many view, me like money, I will play this game mode. I'm allowed to make fun of Bricky specifically, so it's okay. But yeah, that could be helpful, and it doesn't bother anyone directly, and it supports people who are actually making the content that you want to see. There we go. Secret backend hack. All right, but on to the most frequently asked things in the feedback emails we got and in the actual questions for Horde Mode that we aren't actually fixing in this. A lot of these don't have clean fixes, so we'll probably, in the next major update that'll have like the balance changes and Hard Mode and all that, when we officially make all that and I'm more comfortable making updates to this, we'll probably be adding in like secondary documents where, hey, can you guys add Crusade compatibility? We'll figure out how to do that and make Crusade add-on, you know, one-page document that tells you how to do that. We'll also probably make this document, which will be an FAQ plus rare rules or whatever, just like, you know, you'd see on a normal Warhammer FAQ sheet, to cover things that aren't cleanly coverable in the rules. So, would stray orbital bombardment hit Horde units that are spawning that turn? By the rules, not if you drew the misery card at the beginning of the battle round, because that happens before spawning. That's just how that works. So, that is correct by raw and is good enough for me by rules as intended. I don't plan on actually changing that interaction, but it came up by a couple people who I assume thought I intended it to be the other way. And to be honest, I didn't care one way or the other. It's more about punishing you, but I see what you wanted. So I'm going to go with by raw, no, it does not hit those Horde units that are spawning that turn, and we're keeping it that way. Ah, this one was a fun one. So two players had secret objectives about warlords. One of them wanted a warlord to be destroyed. Another one wanted the warlord to survive to the end of the game. The player who had the secret objective to survive used field promotion on their warlord. That unit was destroyed and replaced by another one. Does this mean they failed their secret objective or the other player scored theirs? Or is it the other way around because the warlord returned as something new? I'm going with raw on this one, and no, that warlord was destroyed, check, and the unit that comes back is not the one you submitted as your warlord at the beginning of the game, so you don't have a warlord, you killed him. But that was a really fun interaction to read about. It was also pointed out that the Imperial Knights' hold objective deed is really weird to fulfill when they will get destroyed for standing on it at the end of turn. Yeah, I'm not changing the rules of the spawn zone for that, because as it is, some people are pointing out more cheese strategies that we have to counteract rather than get rid of the ones that are in place. There were some really interesting permutations of spawning that people were coming up with in feedback of like, hey, you could try this, you would try this. And while they're very cool, and I loved some of them, they're way too large of changes for me to approve doing right now, having just finished a lot of work to get our current spawning method in. I will look into those for the future, though, for those of you who submitted some very interesting ones. I was not just pandering to you in the emails I sent back. Some of those were amazing. And then probably the most asked question on all of the feedback is an unfortunate side effect of how the spawn table is made. It was some variant of, hey, some unit sizes in the spawn table don't add up. They're both in the same bracket. 5 and 10 intercessors are together. Or, I don't know if intercessors are that, but for many units, there was a 5 and 10 in the same bracket. The reason for that is how the spawn table is set up. It's a function of points costs with slight movement depending. But we took points cost and we did an equation with the probability of rolling X or higher on 2d6 to figure out how many points in a turn should be spawning statistically, blah, blah, blah. You don't need to know how boring all that was, but where we landed is why things are in the brackets they're in. And unfortunately, that means that the points value of 5 intercessors and 10 intercessors may fall within the same bracket. So it's up to you if you spawn 5 or 10. You can decide that however you want. It could be as simple as, I don't own 10 of this unit, but I do own 5 of it. Spawn 5 of it. That's fine. It could be a, we're losing really bad and we could use a break. Let's say only 5 spawned. That's fine. Or, fuck my shit up, fam. Okay, spawn 10. All of that's on you, up to your playgroup. My playgroup loves just do the worst possible thing, or the funny thing of, we really like respawning a unit that was hard to take down and putting it right back in the spawn zone that it spawned in the first time, just to annoy the person defending that part of the board. It's hilarious, and it doesn't stop being hilarious after games. Stuff like that is just like the fun of playing this format. We did get some more questions, like even really recently, someone brought up like, hey, it says to always use the ability, and the Biovore has an ability to spawn a spore instead of firing, so I use it. But where does the spore go? Because there's no rules for dropping a spore in. I don't have an answer for you, but that sure is a good question. Figure it out. Alright, it's been like an hour of recording this. I'm hoping this isn't an hour-long episode. We'll see. I hope I didn't bore you all by being solo and just talking at you. And I hope you all enjoy the update to the Horde Mode rules and get to play it over the holiday season. I'm trying to rush this out as soon as we can so that you can all be notified and hopefully get a chance to play it with your friends. The feedback we got was so great. I absolutely loved reading it all. I've continued to read the feedback that's been posted on the Discord. Thank you all for liking this game mode. It was a lot of work and I was really afraid it would suck. I'm really glad everybody liked it. So don't be shy. Share your stories. They're absolutely amazing to read. The person whose Death Guard player betrayed everybody in the 11th hour and won alone was amazing to read that story. That was so good. I really wish I could post it, but I don't have permission and I don't want to just randomly post it. If you share in the comments though, I will attempt to get people to notice it though, because it was amazing. Yeah, I, from the bottom of my heart, thank you all. Go out there, have fun, enjoy this game mode. May there be many updates to come, but not too close together because it's a lot of work. And again, if you want to help out or anything, join the Discord. If you want to stay up to speed, join the Discord and remember to give yourself the role so you get pinged for it. And YouTube pleasantries, I guess. All right, take me out of here, Borelio. Play the music.